Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. We read from verse 12. And Jacob dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. The name of that city was called Luz at the first. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. May God bless to us the reading of Holy Scripture. Last Lord's Day evening, we picked up our story at verse 6 of Genesis chapter 28. Another little glimpse into the life of Esau. He marries yet another wife, this time from the house of Ishmael. A vain attempt on his part to curry favor with his parents in order to get a blessing. Every move made by this man was wrong spiritually. All so typical of the natural man. And one said, it's epitomized by that word in Romans 8 and verse 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Then we came to Jacob's departure from home in verse 10. He's setting out for Padan Aram, a distance of over 400 miles. The object of his journey is twofold. First, to escape from his brother's wrath. Secondly, to find a wife of his own kindred. Some 40 to 50 miles en route, night falls, and the fugitive lies down on the bare earth, rests his head on a stone, and was soon fast asleep. We went into some of the detail of this fascinating story. We looked at his condition and his position, and then referred to that verse in Hosea which says, God found Jacob at Bethel. This certain place upon which he lighted and where he slept. For it was that very night at that certain place whilst he slept, he dreamed. not an ordinary dream. It was a theophany. God appeared to him. The Eternal came where he was. I concluded last time by setting before you the unworthiness of this heel catcher, this supplanter of such a divine revelation and visitation. Then in application we saw how exactly did it all match our own situation. As rebellious sinners afar off from God, yet were made nigh by the blood of Christ, and our hearts were drawn out last Lord's Day evening as we extolled the sovereign grace of our God towards us. We come again now to verse 12. And we are this evening to look at the dream itself, or the manner and the content of this vision and appearance of God unto Jacob. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Some ladder. It was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Now, as is so often the case in Holy Scripture, there is more than one aspect of truth being set forth. And this I believe to be the case here, as we shall see. First, we are to see that God is revealing to this man the fact that there is a link of communication between these two realms. There is a link of communication between heaven and earth. This planet is not divorced from heaven. There is a bridge which spans this tremendous distance. There is a link. Jacob, you're a fugitive. You're a solitary figure in a barren area. And now you have no home or habitation. You daren't go back. You have no home or habitation. You're sleeping under the open canopy of heaven in a barren, wild, desolate area. Yet you're not to think, you are not to think that any part of my creation is so desolate that it is cut off from me, or that I have forsaken any area. No, Jacob, every corner of the universe is linked with the eternal throne. The most barren and the most remote part of my creation is ever under my close scrutiny. Mine eyes are never taken from any part of a limitless universe. But there is more. For as the patriarch in his dream looked more closely at this letter, he saw spirit beings on it. Spirit beings on this great letter. And this letter was wide. It enabled persons to go up and to come down at the same time. They could pass one another on the steps. what he saw was the angels of God ascending and descending on this great communicating link twixt earth. Now, we have made a study of the angels in years past, and you will recall from the Holy Scriptures we saw that they are the emissaries of the Most High God. They carry out divine judgment. They also minister to the heirs of salvation. Yes, they carry out divine judgment. The unregenerate may well fear these mighty beings. Their presence might well be a terror to them. It is the angels who will be summoned at the final judgment. It is angels who bind the enemies of God hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire. Yes, I say the unregenerate may well tremble at the presence of these spirit beings. But to the child of God, they should be of untold consolation. Of untold consolation. What does the psalmist say? I left these verses with our dear brother Bridge just before he went to the operating theater. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And again in Psalm 91 and verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. The hosts of God, states the hymn writer, the hosts of God encamp around the dwellings of the just. What a wonderful thought. And here's a man, alone, a solitary figure in a wild area. He's homeless at the moment. Here in his extremity, Jacob sees these holy angels. They're up and down continually from heaven to the very spot where he is. Yes, these heavenly messengers continually ascending and descending, bearing the needs of men up to heaven and bringing divine help down to earth. Jacob saw it to be a continuous and ongoing process. My, what a comfort this must have been to a man fleeing from the threat of murder. A man who had some 400 miles to trek over unknown territory. A man, too, in whom were deposited the covenant promises. What reassurance. Lives. They're up and down all the time. Right where I am. Right where I am. It's all right, says the Almighty. Take another look, Jacob. Take another look at those mighty beings. They're never off duty. 24 hours a day, they're always on duty. They are my ministers. I have given them charge to keep thee in all thy ways. So in his sleep, Jacob focuses upon the ladder and those angels of God, up and down, up and down, up and down, in an unbroken train. as his gaze is thus riveted, he sees yet further detail. Behold, he says, behold, the Lord stands upon it. Divine sovereignty. What a vision. What a vision. Here I am, thinks Jacob. A runaway. My very life is in danger. I am alone in an uninhabited, desolate area. I have 400 miles of wild country, unknown territory to pass through. And the promises of Abraham, my grandfather, and of Isaac, my father, are deposited in me. How am I to survive at a human level? How can this covenant, which is so vital, ever be implemented? Ah, I see now there is a link between this spot and heaven. I see an innumerable company of spirit beings on constant exercise. Now every ear is named, for even over and above them I see the Lord. He's in charge of the whole operation. He stands over and above those spirit beings. They fly to do his bidding. Their movements are as a flash of lightning. No sooner a saint is in need than they're there. It's instantaneous. He's over and above, giving them charge. A sovereign God is watching me. He is ordering, he's commissioning those angels. It is his almighty providence which is bringing about my peculiar situation and circumstance. He's in control of the whole operation. And as his eyes are now fixed upon the one that is stood above the ladder, that glorious supreme being addresses him, the fugitive. Verse 13. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now Jacob had already received the blessing back in Genesis chapter 27, as we saw a week or two ago, when by craft and by deception he came into his blind father. He had already received that blessing. But that blessing had been repeated to him only a short time before this dream, as Jacob left home and set out for Paddan Aram, probably only about 24 hours previously, as he left his father. That blessing had been repeated and confirmed to him. Then it was at that time that we said Isaac explicitly communicated the blessing of Abraham to his son Jacob. We saw this a fortnight ago, I think it was, in Genesis chapter 28 and verses 3 and 4. But I believe this runaway, this man whose life and behavior had left much to be desired. Often it was not what it should be. And I believe he stood greatly in need of a strengthening of faith. Yea, rather, I believe he stood greatly in need of an assurance of divine grace that had been lacking in his life hitherto. And so it is that the Lord Jehovah manifest himself to that man, that sublime. He says, I am the Lord God. This is what that sublime needed above all else. He needed direct contact with the God of his fathers. Up to the present, I believe, He was but as Job, who wrote in chapter 24 of his book in verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I believe thus it was with Jacob. He had heard from his people. He had heard his father speak of these things. Those round and about, he had heard with the hearing of the ear. But now he sees. There is personal acquaintance. Yes, we saw it a week ago. God found Jacob at Bethel. The two met. They met. And then it was that the Almighty himself vouchsafes to him the covenant promises and blessings given to Abraham and to Isaac. Jacob receives that covenant blessing, not at the hands of his father Isaac, but he receives it straight from the lips of God himself. Verse 13, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Ah, the patriarch can be in no doubt now. He may have been, knowing that by deception and craft he had gone in and at a human level stolen the birthright. He may have had second thoughts about it. He may have been in grave doubt. But now he can be in no doubt. The promises are all deposited in him. God has said it. The knowledge and assurance of this would undoubtedly put real meaning and purpose into the life of that man, and real meaning and purpose also into his lonely trek, hundreds of miles, to find the right wife of the right kind in order that that promised seed, now promised to him, in order that that seed might be raised up. And so the Lord God continues his communication with this man. Verse 15, Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I am with thee, Jacob. You've been assured and reassured that the angels are in charge of you. But over and above the angels is the Lord God, and I am with thee. I will keep you in all places to which you are now going, and I will give you a safe return. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Verse 16, And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And Jacob awoke. My, he says, I never expected anything like this. God is in this place. I didn't know that. I just lighted upon this certain place as darkness fell. I just lighted upon it for the night. Yes, I said it a week or two ago. Jacob wasn't looking for God. No, no. But God found Jacob. Verse 17. He was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The truth dawns upon him. He has made an acquaintance with the Most High God. The Lord Jehovah has made contact with him. The eternal, thrice holy God had drawn near to him, a sinful man. It caused him to fear. Oh, this was not a servile fear. It was not the fear of God's displeasure or wrath, for God had found him. The fear of God's displeasure was gone. It was not a fear of wrath. No, it was a filial fear. He was awe-inspired. Mine eyes have seen the King, like Isaiah. He was awe-inspired. The next phrase, too, needs explanation. How dreadful is this place, he says. Well, this does not mean that it was terrible, inasmuch as a man might have approached Mount Sinai. That was dreadful. If a man or an animal even touched the foot of that mount, he would be thrust through immediately with a dart. This isn't the kind of fear which was now in Abraham's heart. No, it was not the fear of those who approached Sinai. Or worse still, it's not the fear of those who approach the gates of hell. When those angelic beings are commissioned to bind hand and foot, then will men fear? That's not the type of fear which was before Jacob. He had just had a vision of the eternal God. Something of the glory of God had been revealed to him. He whose name is holy and reverend had spoken to him. The holy angels were present. It was a sacred, it was a solemn, it was an awesome experience. Why? This certain place upon which I have lighted, this certain place, this wild expanse of barren country, has become nothing less than the house of God. Yea, even more, it's the very gate of heaven. I've glimpsed into it. I saw the Lord over and above this link of communication from earth to heaven, a ladder which reached. The top rung was in glory, and over and above the top rung was the Lord. Jacob saw it. He said, it's the gate of heaven. This brings me to the other aspect of truth contained in this section of Holy Writ. Yes, there's another aspect here. I have seen the way back to God and to glory, says Jacob. I've seen the way to the heaven. I know how to get there. Yes, friends, there is deeper truth even than that which we have already seen in this instant. I say again, the patriarch saw a ladder set up upon earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. It did not come short. No one who ever ascends that ladder when he gets to the top will discover, here is still a vast amount of limitless space. The ladder didn't land me there after all. No. It reached. It was a means of sure access into heaven itself. We come over to the New Testament to see the deep spiritual significance of this vision. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 45, we read these words. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Well, what has this got to do with Jacob's ladder, you ask? Well, what was Nathanael reading or meditating upon when the Lord first saw him under the fig tree? And there can be little doubt but what it was the Genesis scripture recording the dream of Jacob. Nathanael, you shall see greater things than these. The next verse says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael, I am the true ladder. Jacob's vision was but a prefiguration. Those angels which ascended and descended upon that ladder, they did but typify me, who is the true ladder. I am the only true link between God and men. I am the only actual means of communication between earth and heaven. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the fulfillment of that ladder set up on the earth, which reaches to heaven and which can never fail. I am the fulfillment. I have come down. I have come down to this planet Earth to establish a way back to God and to glory. There's only one means whereby that link could have been established and communicated. The eternal Son must take human form and come to Earth, which we should be looking at next Lord's Day company. That's how the work was established. Had to be set up upon earth. He must needs be found in fashion as a man and take human form in order to take human sin. The ladder was set up upon earth. Nathanael, I say, I am the fulfillment of that ladder. I have come down to establish upon earth a way back to God, an entrance to heaven. And thus it was when the Son of God came down to earth in the capacity of mediator. Through him and by him alone, men have access through grace to God and to heaven at once. Verse 18. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon it. He called the name of that place Bethel. The name of that city was called Luz at the first. The name of that area was now known as Bethel. No city or dwelling was there at that period. A city was later built. A community grew up in that area. It was named Luz at the first. Later, the city took the name of Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. It was the house of God at that moment. It's not something that grew up there. It was the house of God then. Verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. While some may differ, yet I do not feel that this must be looked upon as Jacob bargaining with the Almighty. Rather, I feel, are we to see Jacob expressing his gratitude to God in the form of a vow. Seeing God has thus revealed himself to me and vouchsafed such blessings, henceforth, he says, he is to be my Lord and my God. Oh, we know that Jacob still had his failures in the days which lie ahead, and we shall see them. Nevertheless, God found Jacob at Bethel. There the great transaction was done. And in the form of this vow, I say again, I believe, Jacob is saying, henceforth, he is to be my Lord and my God. Verse 22, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He erects a memorial to this great event in his life, the place where God found him. He then covenants with God to give a tenth of his substance. The first mention of tithes in Holy Scripture was back in Genesis chapter 14. We saw it some months ago, many months ago. Genesis 14 and verse 20, the first mention of tithes in the Bible. But here is the first mention of a tenth part. And it is interesting to note that this was almost 300 years before we read of it being laid down in the Mosaic Law. Where did it come from? 300 years before the Mosaic Law was given, Jacob knew. He incorporated it in his vow. He is the Lord my God, and he covenants to give a tenth of his substance to his God. Yes, Jacob had knowledge of this principle 300 years before the Mosaic economy. I'll finish on this point. Again, has this been, I feel, a most interesting chapter? Fascinating in its detail. Profound in its teaching. May its sacred truth be blessed to us all for God's glory. Amen. Hymn number 735. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led, O spread thy covering wings around till all our wandering cease, that our fathers loved of old, our souls arrive in peace. 735. in these days. Pray for his restoration, that he soon may be back and take his place amongst us. We thank thee for our brother, for his humble, consistent walk with his God, for that which he enjoys of the Lord and of the Holy Scriptures. Draw near to him this night, our brother High Most, every member of the church, yea, our God, and every member of the families which are represented by one another here. Thou knowest the needs of them all. To thy hands we commend them. We pray again for the salvation of our loved ones, who are strangers to the grace of the God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon us, remain with us, until our wandering cease, and at our Father's blessed abode, our souls alive in peace. Amen.